This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bisexual.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
On Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
On this episode of Triple Bypass, we'll be bringing you the latest news and updates on Bi-plus news from around the world, including what's led to the explosion of the US Bi-plus population, some updates on the biggest bisexual mental health study so far, and later we'll be talking about online bi spaces, updates on the Bi-plus agenda, and introducing some new voices to the show. All that and more coming up on the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Better off alone. But if you change your mind, you know
was Girls, Girls, Boys by Panic at the Disco.
Oh, and, takes me back.
You and me both.
To a Sunday night.
Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. That's right. The bisexuals have taken over the airwaves. We're here for the bisexuals, the pansexuals, the polysexuals, the queer, the questioning, the... Well, anyone who wants to join in, because we don't believe in gatekeeping. I'm Andrew.
I'm Ruby.
And I'm Sophie.
We're very excited to have Sophie on tonight. So Sophie is going to be hopefully joining the Triple Bypass family as well. You'll be getting to hear a bit more about her and some of the other new voices you've been hearing on our Radiothon show, which is coming up, but also throughout the show tonight.
Super exciting. And thanks, Miranda, Clayton, and the team at Geeks Out, who've just left us the studio. Coming
and a
up.
A really interesting song about Captain America.
A very interesting song about Captain America and all of the fun activities he goes up to. Coming up, I'm going to be interviewing someone who might be a little familiar to some of you, talking all about online bi plus spaces and what they mean for the bi plus community. And if you've got anything you'd like to say about that, any questions you'd like to ask this astonishing human being, or any comments you'd like to make about the bi plus online communities that you're a part of, you can get in touch by emailing us on air at joy.org.au or text us on 0427 569 949. And in general, you can hit us up on Facebook, Triple Bypass on Joy, Twitter, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, and email us at any time on triplebypass@joy.org.au. Rolling into the bi news.
Yes.
And the first thing is findings of a bi-plus study. The first paper from the Who I Am study, which surveyed more than 2,600 people to find out what causes poor mental health in the bisexual community, has been published and is picking up some media attention, including a fantastic article in last Sunday's The Age, featuring Anthony from our very own team.
You can find that article online. There is a wonderful photograph of him looking very pensive,
very
and
broody.
Serious, which is not what he looks like most of the time when he's in the studio.
It's one of the classic Melbourne alleyways as well. The survey revealed that a significant number of bi people experience biphobia, both internalized and from others. Respondents also reported feeling invisible and like their identities were being erased. To find out more about the study and the results, you can check out our interview with the head researcher for that study, Julia Taylor. It's available as a podcast.
And you can get that podcast on Spotify and on iTunes and at joy.org.au/triplebypass. I remember filling in, because that study was done in 2017, I think. I remember filling out the survey, and it's one of the biggest things. So we're now seeing, like, the Greens recently, pledged to, like, put some significant money into, like, supporting research into bi-plus mental health.
Thank you, Janet Rice.
Thank you, Janet Rice, our bi in the Senate, supervise, and for doing a public awareness campaign around biphobia. So I think this survey and study particularly is really creating a lot of awareness around this issue, because a lot of the previous research has always shown, okay, bi and pan people have worse mental health outcomes. This is actually looking at why that is. And I think when people actually understand why it's happening, that feels like they've got something they can actually act on. So I think maybe that's why we're getting more action.
Yeah, looking at the underlying causes.
Even from a smaller community perspective, when you've got those Facebook groups and social media presences, I know myself, I had a bit of a ranty post recently about biphobia, which was just from my own personal experiences, and just even from people in my own community and the community who I didn't know from those Facebook groups, even their response, just bringing it to light, and especially when it's coming from personal experiences. And it's great that it's now getting into The Age, because that's getting to a more mainstream audience. Mm-hmm. You know, if you post something on a bi group on Facebook, you're gonna get a lot of supporters. You're preaching to the choir, you know. But yep. You put it in The Age, and maybe mum and dad will go, "Oh, this is nice. What's this? Oh, what's this about?" And get quite interested.
Oh, bisexuals, are they still around?
Still haven't made up their minds.
You used to call them ACDC when I was younger. I found that one.
What? Tell me what.
I remember that. Because
Different ports, yeah. You're AC ports. Or you're DC, yeah. And there was a whole song about Joan Jett called AC, DC. She's got another lover as well as me. It's great.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And speaking of reaching audiences, though, the number of Americans who identify as bisexual is on the rise. According to a recent survey that was released, the number of people identifying as bisexual has tripled in the United States, which means it's roughly 7,560,900 people identify as bisexual plus, which is three times as many as when interviewed in 2008. And while all of the analysis didn't really talk about why there was a reason, it did say that the change was almost entirely due to the increase in women who identifying as bisexual, specifically women of colour and black women. So the number of men is still kind of hasn't really moved that much, though of course I always think when they go, you know, there are more bisexuals, I'm like, no, there are more bisexuals who are out.
Yeah, no, you were saying in that, well, Andrew was saying in the intro, the explosion in US bisexuality. I was like, it's not an explosion. They were always just there. They've just now got the courage to say it.
They were like sleeper agents.
hidden away, using their invisibility powers and now we're uncloaking.
But I think it's interesting because even like, you know, the 2010 era, one of the reasons people have put forward as a hypothesis is that the debate around bisexual erasure has become really prominent in the last, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years. And that also means that it's kind of helped pull away a lot of the stigma that came with that word. And again, because of online groups, now you could actually, people who think I might be bi can look on Facebook and be like, oh, there's all these Facebook groups I can join and ask the questions I have. I think it's really lovely.
Being able to kind of own that identity and to be able to come out online, which is what Ewan McGregor's daughters have just
double whammy.
Done. What a segue. Esther, I'm going to pat myself on the back for that. Esther and Clara McGregor, the daughters of Scottish actor Ewan McGregor, have reportedly come out as bisexual while criticising the music festival Coachella. According to numerous reports, Esther, 17, first came out in an Instagram post that she's unfortunately now deleted.
I think she's 17. That makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense, especially with the publicity, massive profile that'll reach.
What did the post say?
The post said that she wouldn't be attending the world-famous music event because of owner Philip, I'm not going to pronounce that surname.
Anschutz.
Previous financial donations and support for various anti-LGBTI groups. She allegedly wrote in the caption, hashtag not okay, Coachella. I'll take the time now to say I'm bisexual. Her older sister, Clara, at 23, left a comment in support on Esther's post. Love you, boo. I'll hop on the train and say I'm bisexual too. Carry on.
The feelings. That's just really, really sweet.
Ah, such a good way of showing support, demonstrating support, and saying yes, and this is okay to be.
And I think as well, like, that kind of, I'm not sure. So for Clara to get the confidence from her younger sister to be like, yeah, if you're going to go forward and say that, I've got your back in more ways than you even might expect, everybody. So if you're coming, I think that's just really lovely. And also, I, you know, at 17 to be ready to say that, and she deleted it because at 17, any kind of viral post, like, you know, I think you should be able to have your privacy at any age, but specifically when you're still quite young.
A minor.
And, you know, the daughter of a quite a person who receives a lot of speculation around his own life. I don't know. It made me feel very happy.
Super, super cute.
I remember when I was 17 and, you know, being bi from a young age, so I was already knowing that my interest was batting for both the teams. All of the teams. Yeah, and I felt like at that point in my life I just hadn't made up my mind. I hadn't met the right person. And it's really encouraging to see the difference in generations for someone who's now 17 to feel like, no, and be so steadfast in their own judgment of their own sexuality.
And I think as well, it kind of feeds from the previous news article about, you know, there's being an uptick in people using the word bisexual, because suddenly 17-year-olds can actually access a lot of that discussion and those conversations going on around it, so they know what it means. So they know, oh no, I'm not confused, there's actually hundreds and thousands and millions of people who all are the same as me. So obviously this isn't something that is unique or, like, you know, I'm not weird or broken. This is actually something that a lot of people have experienced, and the struggles I'm feeling around it are struggles that they've all experienced, and they're not due to me, they're just due to societal pressures and bullshit.
Yeah,
Do you think, as a segue, do you think it's got much to do with the representation of bisexuality in movies?
In movies, or in, I'd say movies are still falling pretty far behind as compared to television.
Well, I've got an example here.
Oh, do you?
Yes,
so,
you tell.
The actress Tessa Thompson said she's intended to play Marvel's Valkyrie. Is it Valkyrie or Valkyrie?
Valkyrie.
Valkyrie, okay.
Yeah, like the ones that are like...
Valkyrie, yeah.
You should put that in there.
Okay, I've just come out as not a huge knowledge person of this.
Norse mythology, this, just get on it.
That's one thing I didn't research before the show tonight. So Tessa has, who is openly bisexual herself, so she's going to play Valkyrie in Thor, Ragnarok and Avengers Endgame. And she said it was her intention to play the character as bisexual. She made this revelation during an interview with Variety at the premiere for the movie. When she was asked about her sexuality, she replied in regards to the movie, "In the canon, yeah, she is bisexual. You see her with both women and men, so it was my intention in playing her. That was my intention in playing her. However..." Thompson said they never explored Valkyrie's bisexuality because romantic lives of superheroes are not at the forefront of Marvel films. That she said that she could see Valkyrie in a polyamorous relationship with Thor and Captain Marvel. Hell yes. To the yes.
See, like, that's such an explicitly bisexual relationship as well. Like, I can just see her having the best of all worlds in one space.
Yeah. No, the question is, which one would do the laundry and which one would make the dinner? I mean, like, how would you do the chores?
Thor would definitely do the laundry. He just seems like...
He could carry a very heavy
Captain
basket.
Marvel,
I don't know.
Like, you know...
Anyone who can who wears a cape like Thor wears has got to be good at setting the delicates on the machine.
Yeah, he's got to know how to use
the... Imagine going camping with Thor and putting the tent up, and he'd be like, "Ding, with that hammer."
Oh, man.
No more fighting over the
tent. He'd leave it somewhere. You're like, "Thor, can you just move your freaking hammer?"
This is where my sleeping mat goes.
And finally, another very exciting news at 3 a.m. this Saturday, Anthony, our wonderful co-host, one of my dearest friends, has become a dad.
Yay!
He's been taking a break from the show for a little while to spend time with baby Ari, so please send him some love, send it to us and I'll send it through to him. But we will miss him greatly, but this is hugely exciting and I'm very, very excited for him. But we need to be jumping right along.
After the break, we'll be talking about online spaces for Bi Plus people, particularly Facebook groups. But coming up is a tune by Kim Petras from a 2018 extended EP, Turn Off the Light, Volume 1, In the Next Life.
Kim Petras is an incredible trans woman from Germany, and she started releasing music at 19. She's 26 now, and her talent is just... She's so talented I could be sick, but I won't be because her music is just so good, and you'll get to hear it now. So stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
We'll be right back. I'm Mara Wilson, former child actor, current writer, aspiring bicon, and you are listening to the show that puts the B in LGBTIQ. And Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Never interrupt Mara Wilson, Andrew.
I'm so sorry. That was In the Next Life by Kim Petras, and I'm Andrew. I'm joined by
Ruby
and Sophie.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about BiPlus specific places online. Do you have any questions or experiences about BiPlus online community spaces? You can email us on air at joy.org.au or text us 0427 569 949. And today, as I teased before, I am being joined by a very special guest from the from Melbourne's community. They are an advocate, a freelance writer, a neuroqueer, that is a neurodiverse queer, a lover of dragons and other nerdy things, and above all else, I think you might know them from their amazing radio talents. Hello, Ruby.
Hey, Andrew.
Oh my God, it's Ruby.
Oh my God, it's
Oh my goodness.
It's good as a radio because I'm going really red in the face because this is not the side of the interviewing I'm used to being on.
Ha, ha, ha. I'm taking over the airwaves. And
I control your mic. Anyway.
A 2016 paper that I looked up today by Emile Maliapard has shown that people find it really difficult to disclose their bisexuality, and it's due to a lack of a practical understanding of what bisexual behaviour is and what bisexual doings, as opposed to sayings, are. Now, we know a few of them, cuffed trousers.
Jeans, bad puns, finger guns.
Extra ear piercings.
Sitting badly in chairs.
Sitting badly
in chairs. These are bi things?
These are bi things.
According to who?
Me.
Have you seen how many earrings I've got?
Yeah, right.
Sandwich.
No. I think it's like, it is true.
And so because bisexuality is such a kind of verbal thing, there's issues in building physical spaces that are bisexual community spaces. But I feel like a lot of those are dealt with online where you're speaking to others, where you're identifying with others and you're using words to identify yourself and others. So we're here with Ruby, who appears to run every other online bisexual network here in Melbourne. The biggest is, I think, the Melbourne Bisexual Network, which is made up of mental health professionals.
Oh, yeah. And that's not an online space. That's an organisation. And so, yeah, so that's Melbourne Bisexual Network is a working committee, an advocacy group that's made up of mental health professionals and advocates that just works around raising awareness and around the mental health, specifically mental health issues.
And then there's the community space on Facebook, which is BiPlus Community of Melbourne, which is a safe space for people in Melbourne who identify as bisexual, pansexual, polysexual, or any other form of multigender attraction under the BiPlus umbrella. And it's to help us connect with each other and build community, find new friends and support, and socialise.
And y'all are on it.
Oh yeah, I am on it. Sophie is on it. We're yep. all we're all involved. Yep. Yep. What sort of things, Ruby, got you started with these communities? How did you go about finding these ideas or finding these communities and forging them together into a space that works?
I'm glad you think it works. That's really nice. I think for me, particularly making the Facebook, I think Facebook bisexual communities have become a big thing in the last few years. And for me, I actually heard about the Bisexual Plus community of Perth through one of the first meetings we had for the Melbourne Bisexual Network, where you put a bunch of bis in the room and everyone started to excitedly share resources. And one young person, Ella, who've had on the program a few times because they've done some really cool research, was talking about this page, and I checked it out and I was just like, I want this exact thing. Because while there were other bi plus groups on Facebook, some really fun ones like Sounds Bi, I'm in, Is This Bi Culture? ? And This Is Bi Culture. Separate groups, but
interrelated.
But I think it was kind of, those groups were lovely, but it was like, you know, people from all around the world, and it was definitely an online space, while the Perth group was having like meetups, and it just felt like it was more of a sense of, and like there was a more of like intergenerational conversation and a lot of conversations happening. And so I thought, well, if it all it involves is setting up a group, I can do that. And so in January, I think last year, I put up the group and started to invite people I'd met through conferences and advocacy. And for about the first like 4 months, no one said anything. So I was just posting a lot of articles. I was like, hey, how's everyone going? Look at this. Hey, everyone, look at this. Hey, everyone, look at this. Look at this. Look at these things. Much like I do on the show.
Yeah, building resources.
Yeah. And over time, people started to like ask more. People would post and ask a question. And I think that was a bit of a breakthrough when someone was really brave enough to go out there and be like, hi, I've been on this page for a while. I haven't asked anything. I just wanted to know if I've had this experience and I'm feeling really upset about it. And people were very quick to jump in and say, that's awful. I know what you've gone through, and share that they've gone through similar things and have these really encouraging and supportive conversations.
Supportive community and kind of building a space for supportive community specifically for multi-gender attracted people.
I also, because I'm a part of some of the groups that you run, I remember when shortly after I joined, there was a post by you saying, please welcome the new members, and you gave a space for that kind of introduction. And I think that's a really good way to make people feel comfortable and welcomed. And then you could, you know, share a little piece of yourself and then sort of retreat into a corner again if you wish, or continue to contribute.
And I thought what's really lovely about those is that a lot of people will be like, welcome to the new people. I think one of the things I say is like, you know, introduce yourself, show a picture or your pet or a meme, because everyone loves pet photographs. Like, unlike questionably, everyone's like, oh my god, your dog / cat / reptile / chicken is adorable and I love them.
The thing is, Roscoe, my puppy, is openly bisexual, and so
my puppy's just asking a lot of questions recently, and I just want to make sure he feels supported.
Absolutely.
We do have to jump to a song.
Oh, we do, because I'm very new at this interviewing and anchoring thing.
You're doing such a good job. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
The cowardly voice that you have. We're
just going to not be able to talk for a bit. We're about to roll into the song Kiss the Boy by Kanan Lonsdale. This song celebrates all kind of love with a cute AF music video made up of little clips fans sent in.
All these cute little couples.
So good. This actor and singer most recently played a role in the film Love, Simon, which inspired him to come out as bisexual. And I'm just going to cry a little bit while it plays.
We'll be right back after this song. This is Triple Bypass and you're on Joy.
I've been afraid of my place, of this way, of my feelings, but I'm amazed at how we talk. It's so chill, but this tension, what's the deal when your eyes locked on me? What's the deal when you smiled at me like that? You see, I try to be cool, but the problem is you're messing my emotions up. My head gets stuck, I'm scared to show this how I feel, cause people talk, don't wanna worry about whatever, just gotta know your deal. See, half the time I'm wondering if this is real, and why not say something's on my mind if I feel love, but when the moment's right I freeze, that's how I know my heart is his. If you wanna kiss the boy, then you better kiss the boy right now.
You ain't gotta be afraid of the words you wanna say right now. Cause love is a game we deserve to play out loud. So if you wanna play, then you better kiss the boy, or you better kiss the boy right now. Give him the love, give him the love. Give it the time, give it the time. If it's all a movie, then you'll see it's only about us two. But the cost of trust is that you could throw it away. Maybe it's overrated, I probably shouldn't chase it. But I can't stop the crazy within. You're messing me up. My head gets stuck. I'm scared to show this how I feel. Cause people talk. Don't wanna worry about whatever. Just gotta know your deal. See, half the time I'm wondering if this is real. I might not say the one thing on my mind, cause it's too tough. But we lose our chance when we don't try. On second thought, yeah, I think I might. So if you wanna kiss the boy, then you better kiss the boy right now. Right now, you ain't gotta be afraid of the words you wanna say right now. Cause love is a game we deserve to play out loud. So if you wanna play, then you better kiss the boy, or you better kiss the boy right now. Don't wanna hide, don't wanna hide. Most of my life I've been terrified. Spending my days always questioning, am I wrong to love a man? I realized, ain't gotta hide this heart of mine. I'm gonna fight just to let you know, to open your light and let it glow. So if you wanna kiss the boy, then you better kiss the boy right now. Ooh, yeah. You ain't gotta be afraid of the words you wanna say right now. You better kiss the boy right now. If you wanna kiss the boy, then you better kiss the boy right now.
And this is Triple Bypass, and that was Kiss the Boy by Kanan Lonsdale.
So cute.
I didn't actually get the chance to dry my eyes. We got a text while we were listening to that beautiful, beautiful song.
Yes, we did, Andrew.
Can you read it to me, please, Ruby?
I sure will. We're talking about online Bi-Plus spaces, and Sarah has texted in to say the new Sydney Bi-Plus network has been amazing for the Greater Sydney region. They are online as well as organising picnics and meetups. Sarah, you're absolutely right. My wonderful person named Amber set up that group. They're an incredible Bi-Plus organiser over in Sydney and a very lovely human being in general. And I think their vice recently went overseas, Eloise, and they've got some new people leading their things, but they do have socials and meetups and they post a lot of great news and doing some really good work in Sydney.
Super cool. And Ruby's doing some great work in Melbourne, and that's why we're discussing with them Bi-Plus communities in online spaces. And if you've got thoughts, comments, questions, flick us an email on air at joy.org.au or text like Sarah did on 0427 569 949. Ruby. What are some of the biggest challenges you face with managing your online Bi-Plus community?
I think it's definitely making sure people are joining for the right reasons. And I think it's because, you know, bisexual people often can deal with a lot of fetishization. And so we do get, and even I think we internalize these messages too. So I do have a lot of bisexual or questioning folk who will ask to join the group because they're looking to meet someone, or like, oh, I'm here to find a cute girl, or me and my husband are looking for somebody. It's a really common one. And it might be that this is how they are trying to explore their sexuality, but it means they're going into the group with a specific idea of seeking out people for sex. And while that's totally fine, if that's what a group is for, it's also things that bisexual people want to have spaces that are not based on that, where they can feel that it's not going to happen. So I think the hardest thing is often trying to manage that. So we do have, well, I manage that by having like questions. So just three questions when you join, which is like, how do you identify? What are you looking for? And you agree to follow our house rules.
Mm, fantastic. So you're kind of keeping unicorn hunters at bay.
Yeah, and we can always message them if they do say, oh, I'm looking for this, being like, hi, just say, no, that's actually not what this group is for. We're here for community. If that's what you're interested in, you can, we're welcome you to join again. We're just going to decline for now, but you're very welcome to ask to like join the group again.
Yeah, so reconsider and consider their approach.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because it's a lot of the education about communities in general, whether or not it's to do with sexuality, is often about not just blatantly saying, no, you can't be a part of our group, you can't play with us. Mm. It's also about how you approach those things. And I think that you, as a person who's quite active in the community, will have had to deal with a whole range of people and motives and backgrounds and experiences. And so that's one way that you've combated or managed those kinds of experiences. Have you had any other interesting things that you've maybe struggled with and learnt and grown through in your management of these communities?
I think one of the biggest things was asking for help. When I started off, I was just me running it. And so I think saying, oh, I'd actually really appreciate some help and believing that people would be willing to put their time into it. Because we're all just doing this for volunteers. I think we all spend about, you know, at least half an hour a day. So there's myself, another administrator and three moderators, and we're all volunteers, and we all just, we have like our own little Facebook group called That Is Secret, and where we can kind of post things if we're curious about something, or if someone's reported something, we're not sure how to respond to it.
The Secret Bi Society.
The Secret Bi Society.
Is that where the Secret Bi Agenda is being put together?
Yes. It's coming along so nicely. But it was definitely that sense of getting, making sure I was getting different perspectives on a particular thing. So, you know, if I think we all can respond to things that might frustrate us or might be triggering for us. So it was important for me to say, hey, I've just seen this. I feel weird about it. How do you feel? And someone can say, oh, I just think they weren't sure. We should just clarify with them what's going on. I think one of the other big challenges was learning when to... I always want to approach things from that point of people often come from a place of ignorance and they do want to do better if they know what the mistake is. And so I think there's been times where there's been, discussions or debates breaking out in the comments, and I haven't really, I have kind of let things go on a bit too long because I was trying to explain to that person, and then it's gotten to the point where it got quite hostile or abusive.
Right.
And I was like, I should have stopped this before. But I think that's a really hard line to know. And as well, I do see in a lot of other bi plus groups that get really big, and mine's, well, it's not mine anymore. It's run by a bunch of people, but
it's ours.
It's the communities, but it's got over 800 people in it.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people who come from a lot of different backgrounds, who've got a lot of different opinions, and we're never all going to agree on everything. But as long as we can accept that, generally, it's okay. But I've seen in other Facebook groups, for bi plus people, there can be a lot of really intense gatekeeping. So if someone makes a mistake, they get really torn apart very quickly, or people will have really conflicting views on who gets to be part of the community. This is, I think, particularly around based in the States, where there's a lot of argument around it's LGBT, so the intersex community is not a part of the rainbow community in the United States.
Should we hear interesting things about in the various forms of discourse?
Yeah, but even like people saying, oh, I think one of the biggest things is asexual exclusion is a big one, and basically just, and so you get these kind of really intense arguments, and they really escalate quickly, because when you have a lot of hostility there on both sides, everything that they're writing down, because it's all just text, right? Everything that people are reading, they're reading in a hostile way, and so it escalates very quickly and gets really aggressive really quickly.
So it kind of heats up and builds this hurt or a cycle of hurt and attack?
And they're never going to reach any kind of bridging point where they can understand where the other people are coming from, because they've already decided you're the enemy, and every conversation I'm making is to try and dismiss you, not even like argue your point, but to dismiss you as a person.
I'm not listening anymore. I'm attacking.
Yes, exactly. And so one of the things I've tried to do is make sure that if someone comes in and says something that to me it is offensive, it comes from a place of ignorance, to try and actually talk to that, like, you know, say, well, actually, here's where that comes from, and here's why that's, you know, why that can be offensive. And I think that I do that, and I've seen other people do that as well, and I do think it's that sense of a community tends to, we all try and follow each other's behaviour. You know, we're pack animals, and I think by that being kind of set as how people will go into these discussions, it does tend to go that way, not always. And we do have to remove people, or someone might come in there and like just post photographs and people uncomfortable, like a lot of topless photos.
Yep.
Sometimes it's like, okay, you don't understand what this group is for, you have to leave. That can be one of the things, yes.
I also, actually, one thing that you said just now made me think, I feel like the bi spaces on the Facebook groups that I'm a part of do actually have quite a variance in posts, and they don't have as much of the pack mentality as, say, a lesbian group that I might be part of, or a gay group, or, you know. And do you think the same thing, that there is quite a, because we're loving everyone, there's so many different things to post, that it's, you don't get as much of the pack mentality?
I think it just really depends on what the group's for. I think even in the title you can sometimes tell, like there'll be some, like, you know, a lot of the meme groups will be very clear that they are exclusionist in the title, and I think that's the big divide. It's exclusionist versus inclusionist. I think more bi groups are inclusion than exclusion, and I know that the lesbian and sapphic community is having a bit more of a struggle with that because of some discourse that's been happening, particularly around the UK, around the rights of trans women to go into those spaces, and I think that's been really frustrating for me to see, particularly because I think the other thing is that a lot of bi plus people do have some experience in what it is like to be on the other side of someone gatekeeping. Have someone say, you're not something enough to come into this space, or to be made to feel that way.
Yeah.
So I think once that's kind of turned, I like to think, and this might just be like me being like, being bi is really cool, but like it does make it, I think, we do make more of an effort to be like, I'm trying to bring you into the fold. And especially when you see everyone around you doing the same thing. I really do think it's about how the community is run from the get-go. I've seen some groups where the moderators themselves will go in and like have posts that are very inflammatory, or very much like, this is my line and I'm sticking to it, and if you don't agree with me, fuck off.
Right.
And that will set the tone for the entire page, because it's basically saying, anyone who doesn't agree with these lines is open for ridicule.
And if she can do it, or they can do it,
then,
or,
everyone, you know, can do it. It's endorsed.
That's a real worry, and it's a really careful line for you as the administrator, as the figurehead almost, to walk, because you have opinions, and I'm sure they're good and well-founded
opinions.
So many
opinions, Andrew.
just a couple that I've seen so far. But, well, at least the ones I'm aware of are really well-founded.
I'm not there to give my opinions most of the time. I'm there to facilitate, and I think that's okay too. I think that's why it's nice to have the other mods and admins there as well. But, I suppose, like, I am part of groups, like, bi plus groups that do have these discourses, and people have messaged me and be like, oh, just so you know, these groups are exclusionary. And I'll be like, yes, I know. I'm on them because they're still part of the community that I identify with, and I want to understand where these arguments are coming from to make sure that I can address them if they appear in the spaces that I'm trying to run, because I need to understand the mentalities that go behind them, the logic that's being used, because I want to be able to explain to someone who might start to read that kind of stuff why I don't agree with it, which is all I think you can really do.
Why we don't need, or don't have this kind of gatekeeping.
Yeah, or why that I wouldn't accept that kind of language, for example. Or like why I might be like, look, that's a point you're putting forward, but that is going to be really, like, that I think is an opinion that is very hurtful for people.
Right.
It's easy. It's really good that you do that, because it's very easy for a group, as it expands, to become in their own bubble and to be like, yeah, that sucks and that's crap because of that and blah, blah, blah. Whereas if you have people that are really level-headed coming with you know, information from outside of the community saying, look, this is all great to talk about within, you know, like having a discussion about race with a group of a room full of white people, I always feel like it's, you know, you can't get anywhere fast because a lot of those people don't have those experiences to bring in as a well-rounded thing.
Well, I think like on that particular analogy, I think those conversations can be really important because we can all bring what we've learned to each other without having to put a person of colour at the emotional labour that it can cost them to go into a room full of white people and be like, here's the why you're all...
No, totally, yeah.
You know, but I agree with you. And I think the other thing as well is that I know that in my experience, the LGBTIQA+ community is really good at starting to divide off into little sections and just log heads and fight each other intensely, and
because they've been fighting for so long,
exactly.
It's just what they do.
And it's so much easier to fight the person next to you than to fight the giant force that's pushing you all down. It just is. And so a lot of that anger tends to be slipping out sideways, and I think that one of the other reasons I go in these groups is because I know how easily that can happen, even in those spaces, because we're all holding on to certain amounts of resentment and frustration with worlds that aren't very accepting of us. And the minute we start to find someone starts to convince us to channel that in a way that is attacking sideways or down, as opposed to challenging the things that are bringing us all into that space, it's dangerous. And I think, while people, I also think, though, by saying don't talk about that ever, you're not going to change anyone's mind about it.
Yeah.
So by having a space where someone can say these things without being scared that if you say the wrong thing, they're going to be kicked out of the community or attacked or raked over the coals and humiliated, right, they're much more likely to then learn from that experience. And I think that's happened. The other thing is, I feel like I only have to do that thing, that conversation, or have that conversation once or twice, and next time somebody else will have it for me. And I think that's happened on the Bi Plus community, where like I don't have to engage as often, and I can still be tagged in. People often tag me or one of the other admins on, or message us if something's gone badly, or if they've been, you know, if someone sent a message to someone they didn't know, because we say no to that. But I think that's tends to be the angle I have on it, where if I explain something to somebody and say, this is how I'm interacting with this person, next time that someone makes a mistake, it's put in our heads that we don't have to be defensive with each other, that we are here to try and learn from each other, as opposed to being into a space where you get social currency for being shit, which does tend to happen sometimes.
I do see it a lot, and I've seen places just completely ban discussion around things to avoid that completely. So it's really nice to see in this Bi Plus community of Melbourne community. That
it works.
Tautologies. That's all right. Facebook community, Facebook group, to be able to see that you can explore these ideas and look at and bounce ideas back and forth. It's really, really valuable and really helpful.
I think one of my favorite conversations that came from was was when people, I think, had used a particular terminology, and someone was explaining, actually, please don't use that. That's a word that is, you know, specifically for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to refer to like this, so don't use that. And someone's like, oh, well, what should we use instead? That's actually not my job to teach you that. And so what actually happened after that was someone's like, oh, no, I understand that. I just want to make sure I get this right. And so then you had this basically inter-community, everyone suggesting different terms to use and coming together and being like, well, this could work, or I like that, what about this one? And so that person pointed out the issue, had explained politely why they were not going to give a solution, and people just responded by saying, cool, well, we can come up with that together. And at the end, I just remember being like, I'm just very proud of all of you right now.
Fantastic. We're about to roll to our next song, which is Bisexual Anthem by Domo Wilson, and there's a content warning for this one, a bit of a heavy one.
You may remember it. We played it last week. It's just really good. So you're going to hear it again by playing. Is that a thing? I think we're doing it. It's still by far.
Stuck in my head.
And you're on Joy 94.9.
This is called the Bisexual Anthem. By price, stand up. I like girls. I like guys. I like to eat the pussy. Then again, I like to ride. Yeah, I like kissing on girls. And then I put the dick inside. I'm a sexual bitch, and I ain't got nothing to hide. Yeah, these bitches hating on me because I'm confident in me. Better not forget the B and LGBT. And y'all like to say we selfish, and y'all say we like to cheat. But I know they both at the same time. Haters have a seat. I like girls, oh my gosh, big booty, big tits. I like guys too, though, super sexy, big dick. And if you hating on me, ho, then I'm down, big shit. And if you curious, I got you, baby girl, quick fix. How the fuck you date a guy when you're bi? You're a fake-ass dyke, I don't like you, I won't lie. You cannot date both, pick a side. Do you like fucking girls or do you like fucking guys? I like both. My pride, stand up. I'm like a girly little thing. Get my dude man up. Walk into the strip club and then I throw my bands up. And when he get me sloppy toppy, like to throw my hands up. If I wanna date a girl and we don't work out, then it's cool. Sexuality is fluid. It's okay to date a dude. If I date a fucking guy and we break up, it's okay to date a pretty girl. Ain't no fake love. I like girls. I like guys. I like to eat the pussy. Then again, I like to ride. Yeah, I like kissing on girls and then I put the dick inside. I'm a sexual bitch and I ain't got nothing to hide. Yeah, these bitches hating on me cause I'm confident in me. Better not forget the B and LGBT. And y'all like to say we selfish and y'all say we like to cheat. But I know they both at the same time. Haters have a seat. I like girls, oh my gosh, big booty, big tits. I like guys too, though, super sexy, big dick. And if you hating on me, ho, then I'm down, big shit. And if you curious, I got you, baby girl, quick fix. I met a
cute little shorty way back in 08. I was really in denial. I was like, no way. I met a dude up in high school. I was so confused. How the fuck do I like girls? Then I started liking dudes. Then I realized, ain't no rules to this shit. Ain't a crime to like pussy. Ain't a crime to like dick. Ain't a crime to be whoever, whenever, man, I'm sick. I'm a bi girl, bitch. Low fly girl, bitch. B-I to the S-E-X-U-A. It's a L if you hating on me, bitch. I slay. No, I am not gay and no, I am not straight. I'm the B in this bitch. Pop pride all day. I like girls. I like guys. I like to eat the pussy. Then again, I like to ride. Yeah, I like kissing on girls and then I put the dick inside. I'm a sexual bitch and I ain't got nothing to hide. Yeah, these bitches hating on me cause I'm confident in me. Better not forget the B in LGBT. And y'all like to say we selfish and y'all say we like to cheat. But I know they both at the same time. Haters have a seat. I like girls. Oh my gosh, big booty, big tits. I like guys too though. Super sexy, big dick. And if you hating on me, ho, then I'm down. Big shit. And if you curious, I got you, baby girl. Quick fix. Yeah, I'm bi, and I like them both, I got pride. Yeah, I'm bi, I'm bi, I'm the bee in this, you know why. Yeah, I'm bi, I'm bi, I'm the bee in this, you know why.
And welcome back to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Where are we?
I'm Ruby. And I'm Sophie.
And I'm Andrew. And we're talking about Bi Plus community spaces in an online context. And we've had a fantastic text that came in just before that song. That song being Bisexual Anthem by Domo Wilson.
Banger.
Real banger.
Absolute banger.
And it's from Roan. I think it's important to distinguish places that do have exclusions in order to keep them, I think that means the participants, safe.
Mm.
What do you think about, you mentioned briefly before trying to keep out unicorn hunters and people who are not focusing on the community.
Mm.
But what other sorts of protections kind of occur?
So I think for us, again, we just have, that's our biggest one. I think really it's that, you know, this is not a space to come to seek or solicit sex. If you want to do you, you can do you, just do it elsewhere. And I think someone actually was saying, I know this space is not for that. Could anyone recommend where I could find that? And people being like, follow this thread. So there's obviously people who are looking for that. But I know that in other spaces, like I'm also on a few groups that are for LGBT autistic people, and that's a very specific demographic and it's our space. And I think for the bi plus community, I do say if you don't identify as bi or pan or multigender attracted, you can still join. Just because I think people might not be ready to identify that way and still want to find out more about it. And also because I want to encourage people just to be around that kind of conversation and hear it where they might not be able to otherwise, while still having it centered on the bi plus people in the space. And I think that's where I think the exclusionary stuff, I think if as long as it's understood that that space is for particular people to have a conversation, that's okay. But that's also just my opinion. And I know that sometimes people want to be able to vent about other people and have that listened to and not rejected or not pushed back on.
Mm.
And I think that's also where having a really good set of rules is important, and to have that kind of mentality enforced. And so just to have reminders of, like, you've agreed to these sets of rules. These rules are often, like, for me, it's often that we'll leave conversations up there so people can gain something from them, even if, you know, you felt like, you know, it was a bit, you got called out for something. Usually we do try and have the sense of calling in. But I do also think it's important that when we think about exclusion, we're thinking about, like, you know, why it's exclusionary. Is it something that you can remove somebody from if they break that rule? I think, you know, you kind of risk, it's that sense of, like, letting it's better to let 1,000 people out, like, or like let 1,000 like guilty people free than keep there's just something about innocent guilty people. It's I think it's like that sense of I would rather have to handle someone who's joined who shouldn't be there and remove them than to have all the people who feel like they need the space and feel like they shouldn't join.
Yeah, right. So being able to
it's my space, and so that's how I've chosen to do it, and people can choose to do it differently.
Yeah, for sure. Safety also kind of ties into one of the other questions that I wanted to bring up, and that's how do you bridge this online community, this online space where people are not at physical risk necessarily, into the real world, and what kind of...
Well, because I do that. I also have picnics and stuff. I had my first picnic in January last year. I think 3 people rocked up. kept going, ate all the brie. It was great. I think... So for me, I do try, I think, and a really important thing is to have a place where we can meet in the real world, like face-to-face, and to have conversations in person that we might not feel comfortable talking about online. And so far as keeping that safe, I suppose I have in public spaces generally. So I have the event up there, so people, and it's always somewhere public, somewhere people can come in and out. And that so far has been as far as I've managed to go with that. I think as the group is getting bigger, I'm rethinking how a lot of that's going to work now because, for example, I'm not a trained mental health practitioner, and I think people often who come, sometimes who come to those spaces are looking for more support in that sense, even if they're not necessarily articulating that yet. So having places where I can direct them to has become really important to me. So like Thorn Arbor Health is setting up a new bi-plus supportive therapeutic group.
That's super cool because every time I hang out with my bi friends, I just end up venting about trauma.
Well, I think everyone does that too.
Why are bi so angry about everything?
With the B in bitter, babe.
I like it.
I think it's definitely like there can be a lot of catharsis in like a shared venting of experiences, particularly if they're experiences you haven't had validated before. But I think, you know, there's always that risk of, not being sure people have come there. I think the thing is with having a picnic or a community drinks, generally just like people don't usually, if it's during the day or if it's earlier in the day, it just changes the people, like, you know, people who'd be going there or what's going to be happening there. And, you know, we usually have a pretty broad age range. So people like, you know, who are in there, who are like, 18 or 17 and people who are in their 70s or 60s.
And it's nice not to have the focus on alcohol, for example. Yes. So you're having it in a park rather than
pub. Board games and stuff like that. We've done pubs as well because it gets colder, picnics are a bit harder. And just because I do this voluntarily, like the picnics and stuff I held are nothing to do with the organization that I run. They're just things that I'm doing because I wanted them and I still want them. And so I get to have them by making them for myself. And people get a lot out of them. And I've met some incredible people through that space as well. But I do think I think having spaces that are not stressing alcohol and also not stressing like nighttime and clubs is important.
I've just had a text in that says, and also sober spaces. Sober spaces are really important for especially queer communities. We're so often pushed kind of late at night because
That's when the buyers come out.
Historically it was the only time it was safe for us to come out, and even that, we didn't come out, we went into the bars.
Yeah,
you know. And so I think that was the Harvey Milks thing, you know, out of the bars into the streets. We can be out in the open now and be ourselves and bring our families along and have kids with us and dogs and everything, and I think that's become really important. As far as completely sober spaces, I haven't run anything that has been like a no one bring alcohol kind of a space. And I think that's something that's probably quite important to do in the future. But the other thing is with the Facebook group, I've seen other people offer to have hangouts now, like say, hey, I was thinking of doing this.
I saw that one, didn't make it.
Yeah, but it's always that sense of I can always be like, hey, I'd be happy to help you set up an event for this. So I might not run it, but I'll be happy to help, let you know what to expect or how some tips you can have on how to run those things. Because it can be a bit stressful, I don't know everybody. What am I supposed to do? Is everyone having a good time? Is everyone feeling comfortable and safe? Generally, yes, people have had really positive times in those. You get a lot of repeat faces, which is really cute. I recommend, I'm not sure when the next one will be, but definitely recommend people coming along. But I think we might have to wrap up because
I think we do.
Homeophonics is coming up with the gays. Not the gays, but the gays with a Z-E.
The gays on Joy? What is this? I didn't.
The
gays?
Travesty.
My goodness. Find us on social media, Triple Bypass on Joy, Twitter, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, or email us at any time, triplebypass@joy.org.au. Ruby, what's the place that they can, our lovely can find us? That's right.
They can find all of our stuff across all the social medias. They can also find our podcast on iTunes or at joy.org.au/triplebypass. We'll be back next week at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday. Thank you so much, Andrew and Sophie.
Thank you, Ruby.
Thank you. Coming up, stay tuned for Homeophonics. This is Triple Bypass, and you've been listening to Joy 94.9. Why not check out one of Joy's great podcasts? In preparation for the federal election, the SatMag team brought in two of the candidates for the seat of McNamara to talk about themselves, their motivations and their party's policies. Maddie and Amy explore first world problems, lose control, return to the airways recently, and if you haven't heard the show on a Friday night, now you can get your dose of R&B via podcast every week. All these podcasts and many, many more available wherever you get your podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.